Thanks be to God, and thanks, Gower, for that reading. Well, welcome to Cross Life Church, everyone. My name is Michael. I'm one of the pastors of this church, and I'm going to be speaking from that passage today. For me, if anyone wants to talk about Jesus, obviously, theology, maybe Paul's letter to Titus specifically, I would always be keen to talk about that. But also for me, I like to talk about movies, parenting and families, board game design, martial arts as well. It's a question, the things that we like to talk about. It's a question that gets into the topic of what are we unashamed to talk about? What are the things that we are unashamed to admit about ourselves that we like? And shame is the topic that we're looking into today. And we're going to see how Paul is not ashamed to talk about the gospel and how we should not be ashamed to talk about the gospel as well. And so I'm going to lead us in prayer as we head into God's word. Please join with me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you say to us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, that your Son Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Lord, when it came to whether Jesus would honour the world or honour you, Jesus chose you. Please help us to do the same. Please help us to be unashamed of the gospel and unashamed of our calling to proclaim the gospel. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jen told this story once to me about how she was at a friend's birthday party in the city. It was at some bar. She was talking to a guy there. And of course, when you're at a birthday party with someone that you haven't met, the obvious question that you ask is, how do you know Paul? It was Paul's birthday. And the guy answers, I know Paul from soccer. And there's a long pause. They're looking at each other. And Jen says to the guy, you play World of Warcraft with Paul, don't you? You know, you play computer games with this guy, don't you? And the guy says, yes, I do. Each of us has these two buckets in our lives. One of them is the honour bucket. In that bucket goes the things that we are happy to share in front of anyone, the things that we can air to the world. They're the things that we hope people find out about us, the things that we are proud of. People will put into that bucket things like awards they have won, or their impressive job title, or the prestigious school that they went to, or how much exercise they do. Into the other bucket goes the shame things. Those things about ourselves that we don't want to share with others, the things that we hope people never discover about us. And maybe that is your World of Warcraft habit, but it could also be certain relatives you have that are an embarrassment to your family. It could be secret sins that you are harboring, maybe weird or odd hobbies, or maybe how often you visit the local KFC. You see, the honour and shame buckets are an unavoidable part of being part of any social group. Every social group has things that they find honourable and things that they find shameful. Which bucket does your Christian faith fall into? Is it something that you want to express to the world? Is it something that you hope people find out about you? Or is it something that you hope people never find out about you? Our passage today contains a verse which any Christian from any culture should be able to commit to memory. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. If you remember nothing else from today, please remember those words of God. But we're going to be hearing today why we should not be ashamed. And I hope that as we hear that, we will be encouraged to not just be eager, but even obligated to preach and proclaim the good news of Jesus. So we are still at the beginning of the book of Romans. This is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome. This is a church that Paul has never met. Last week, in the first seven verses of Romans, we saw that Paul is a gospel man. He has built his life around the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. He is God's Savior, King, who died for our sins and rose from the dead. Today, what we're going to see is how Paul feels about that gospel. We're going to see that he is not ashamed of that gospel, and on the contrary, he is actually proud of the gospel. The word pride is a word that has sadly been co-opted and corrupted by the culture around us. Our world now takes pride in things that are shameful and wants people to be ashamed of things that they should take pride in. But I think that pride is the only word that really captures here Paul's confidence and his dedication to the good news of Jesus. And in our passage today, we're going to see that Paul takes pride in two things. He has pride in the proclamation of the gospel and pride in the power of the gospel. And so firstly, pride in the proclamation of the gospel, and that is verses 8 to 15. Paul writes, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow, by God's will, I may now at least succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome." Now, we get a few facts about Paul and the Roman church here. We see here that Paul feels like he has to say that he is unashamed of the gospel. He is eager to preach the gospel. Paul talks about both Greeks and barbarians, the wise and the foolish. And he also talks about how he wants to visit the Romans, but he hasn't been able to in the past. And some people, they put all this together and they think, maybe Paul is writing this because the Roman church thought that he was scared of them. You know, they thought that Paul was ashamed of the gospel. They thought he was a bit of a chicken. They might have thought, well, you know, Paul, your gospel is all well and good when you're talking to uneducated people. When you're talking to the barbarians, they'll believe the gospel easily. But this is Rome you are dealing with now. These are civilized and intellectual people here. So maybe your gospel won't be as well received with people like us. And so Paul is cancelling his visit to them for the same reason that a politician might cancel a debate, because he is afraid that he will lose. He's afraid that he will look bad. I think there's a little bit of truth to this, but I don't think that the relationship is as antagonistic as other people make it out to be. The tone throughout the rest of Romans is really kind and pastoral. And we know that from Paul's unkind letters, like Galatians and Corinthians, that Paul is not afraid to call people out for their accusations against him. He's very direct when he does so. And so I think here Paul is dealing with things like misconceptions and miscommunications rather than outright contempt and opposition. And Paul deals with that by expressing his pride in the proclamation of the gospel. You know, he actually wants to get to the Roman church. In verse 10, it says that he prays that he can see them. Paul is not looking at the first excuse to bail, right? When he can't make it, it's not his fault. It's always the circumstances. It's not God's will at the time. Verses 11 to 12, he says that he longs to see them so that he may impart to them some spiritual gift to strengthen them. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that Paul wants to teach them how to do miracles like healing and stuff? Well, probably not. Notice that in verse 12, Paul continues straight into, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. And so the gift here that Paul is giving to the Romans is just the encouragement that comes from fellow Christians being with each other, speaking God's word to each other. And it's probably the same as verse 15. When Paul says, "So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome." Paul wants to proclaim the gospel to the Roman church. He's not afraid to say it. He's unashamed of the proclamation of the gospel. I think Paul's feeling here is the kind of feeling that you get when you really love something, when you're really into something. And one of the things that you just want to do when you love it so much is you just want to find other people who are into it as well. You know, that's just what happens with human societies, right? Communities form around common objects of love. You can see that in our church. At church, after church, when we get to morning tea, people get together to talk about things like physical fitness or fishing or politics or family or schools or going out on summer missions. But over all of this, the reason why we are gathered together is because we love the gospel of Jesus. Our church would not exist without it. And that is very like Paul. Paul loves the gospel. He takes pride in it. And what he wants to do is gather with people who share that love of the gospel. And that idea, by the way, kind of answers the question that people often ask when they say, do I have to go to church to be a Christian? All right, people will say stuff like, you know, I can be a Christian by myself, right? Or you've told me that all I have to do to be a Christian is have faith in Jesus. Well, I have faith in Jesus, and why do I have to go to church? Well, part of the answer is that Jesus and the good news about Jesus is the greatest source of joy, love, and pride for the Christian. And even when we do not feel that, we want it to be. And so we don't just have to go to church. We want to go to church to share that joy and pride with others, and we want to grow in it too. You know, being a Christian and not going to church is like saying that you're a fan of a football team and never watching their games. It's like saying that you love this country and then using every breath to criticize this country and burn down everything that makes it great. You know, participating in the community around the thing is the way that you show your love for the thing. And so is proclaiming the gospel a source of pride for you? Are you proud that our church is a place where the gospel is preached? Do you share Paul's desire to speak the gospel into the lives of fellow Christians and also Paul's desire to speak the gospel into the lives of non-Christians? You know, pretty much everything that we do at church here, Sunday service, growth groups, one-to-ones, our church dinners, even our socials, is trying to create opportunities for people to speak that gospel into each other's lives in all sorts of different ways, formally and informally, in word and in deed, in season and out of season. And we do these things because we are unashamed of the gospel, because we share in Paul's pride in the proclamation of the gospel. The second thing that Paul has pride in is pride in the power of the gospel. And that's what we see in verses 16 to 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. If there's one thing that people are never ashamed of, it's power. Political leaders never have to apologize for their position. Our champion athletes are not ashamed of their gold medals. I have never, ever seen a really muscly guy who is bashful about his appearance. You know, it's the opposite, isn't it? You know, political leaders have their titles on their desks right in front of them. They display it. Our athletes put their gold medals in cases to show everyone. And if you have those muscles, you wear tight shirts. You walk with your arms out to the side of your body. You take every opportunity to do stuff like carry chairs for people. And if there's a jar of jam that needs opening, you're like, can I help with that? You know, you're subtly flexing, even when you do something so basic as open a bottle of toothpaste, because power is nothing to be ashamed of. What Paul says here is that Christians have a power that is greater than any other power. Even the weakest man or woman, if they can communicate the gospel of Jesus, they have the power of God in their voice. And this is a power that is greater than the power to open a jar, greater than the power to direct a nation. This is the power of salvation, the power to bring people back from death and hell. Our Prime Minister cannot do this with his power. The President of the United States can't do this with his power, but we can. And we have as well. You know, there are people sitting here today who are the testimony of God's saving power at work because we have heard that gospel. All Christians know this power because it has worked in them. And all Christians have this power because anyone who has heard and understood the gospel can also communicate the gospel. They can say what Jesus has done for them. So why are we ashamed of it? This passage gives us even more about the power of the gospel. It says that the gospel is for the Jew first and then for the Greek. That is the order in which the gospel comes in the New Testament. And we see this in the Bible. Jesus and the apostles, they went to the Jews first and then to the non-Jews, also the Gentiles or the Greeks. That's what they were also called. And that includes people like us. Paul also says that the gospel is powerful because it reveals God's righteousness. Paul is going to pick up on this again in Romans chapter 3, but the idea here is that we are not righteous by ourselves. We are sinners. We are unacceptable to God. But the good news is that when Jesus died for us, our sins go on Jesus, but Jesus' righteousness goes on us so that we are acceptable to God. And Paul also says that this righteousness is by faith. It's not by works. We can't earn it. It's a gift of God. And so it's by faith or from faith for faith, because from start to finish, it's about faith. Right? We believe God, we get God's righteousness by simply believing Jesus at his word. You never graduate from faith. You don't start with faith and then move on to good works or miracles or speaking in tongues. And all of this is the fulfillment of an Old Testament prophet named Habakkuk, who said in chapter 2, verse 4, that the righteous will live by faith. We are saved from death and hell by our faith in Jesus. The good news of Jesus, when it is proclaimed, comes with the Spirit and power. It comes with a power to make dead people alive, a power to bring people out of hell to heaven, a power to make sinners righteous with God, and all of this simply by trusting that word of the gospel. If we had to do it, it would be our power and not God's power. You know, it would be completely understandable to be ashamed of being a Christian if being a Christian made you weak. But it doesn't. I said earlier this year, and I'll repeat it again, the Christian message is not we are weak. The Christian message is we are weak, but God is strong. You just need to be able to see the world with the right filters, to see that power and strength, to look past the filters of wealth and education and status, and be able to see instead where people are spiritually compared to where they were. How people have grown in their repentance and faith, where they stand with God. You look at that with those filters, you look rightly, and you will see the magnificent power of God at work. Can you see that power when you see this church? Paul can see it. God can see it. And that is why Paul is proud in the power of the gospel. And so we've seen that there is nothing in the gospel to be ashamed about. We heard from Hebrews chapter 12, Jesus did not struggle with shame. He despised it. In Romans chapter 1, Paul did not struggle with shame. He was unashamed. You know, you read about that, you think, look, it'd be great to get there, wouldn't it? It'd be great to be so proud of the gospel, so unashamed of the gospel. How do we get there? How do we just not even feel it ever? Well, I think there are a few things that we can do to train it. And I think firstly, it's about spending time in the community of the gospel. Honor and shame thrive in communities. So the more you spend time in a community, the more you take on their values. When this is used for evil, this is called peer pressure or abuse. But at its best, you know, we call these things good things as well. Things like mentoring. Things like encouragement, like leading by example and being a good influence on people. One of the greatest gifts that God has given us to put away sin and to love Jesus is each other. And so if you feel an unusual amount of shame in the gospel, Well, then maybe it's because you've been spending too much time in a community that is causing you to feel the shame of the gospel. And maybe you need to spend more time in the community of the gospel. I think second thing that we can do is start by speaking the gospel to Christians. You know, it's kind of funny that Paul gives us this great memory verse about being unashamed of the gospel, but he actually gives it in the context of talking to Christians. And it's a bit weird, isn't it? You'd think that the place where we would be most ashamed of the gospel would be talking to non-Christians, and that's probably true. But maybe there's a point that Paul is trying to make for us here. And that point is that if you can't speak about God and Jesus with Christians, it's little wonder that you can't speak it with non-Christians. In the church, you have a captive audience. You have people who are here like you to hear God's word and speak God's word to each other who love to hear it. You know, I've sometimes said that this formal part of the church service, where it's mainly me talking to you, is only the first part of church. But morning tea, when we talk to each other, is the second part of church. It's actually still church. It's where we're meant to encourage each other, speak the truth in love to each other. The works of service that we're meant to do as God's holy people, we do for each other. And so learn to do that. Learn to praise God in your conversations when you hear good news. Learn to ask people how they are going spiritually. Learn to speak about what Jesus has done for us in a way that strengthens and encourages God's people. And learn to do this without embarrassment, without feeling weird. And if you can do that, then do not be surprised if God gives you opportunities to speak such things outside the church as well. Start by speaking to Christians before speaking to non-Christians. And finally, we can grow our pride in the gospel by spending time with God. As we read God's word, as we ask him for help, we are reminded to see the world with the right filters, to look to spiritual things, to hear again the power of the gospel, to be reminded of how important it is to proclaim the gospel. We may not be apostles like Paul, but we are all commanded by Jesus to make disciples of all nations. The more we spend time with God, the more confident we are in God, and the greater our pride in the word of God. And so you can see from Paul, the gospel of Jesus is firmly in the honor bucket. Paul was a gospel man, someone who wanted to speak about Jesus whenever he could. He was unashamed of the gospel because the gospel had the power of God, the power to save people from death and hell. Now, you kind of think if Paul had a T-shirt, it would probably read, "Ask me about Jesus." You know, our opening question today was about, you know, what are you always up to talk about? If we are unashamed of the gospel, let us always be up to speak about our Savior and Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel. And we thank you that all of us here can testify to that power of the gospel, that your word has brought us out of death and hell through the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, who has died for our sins, given us his righteousness, and made us acceptable to you, holy and blameless, so that we can come to you with confidence and even speak to you today. Heavenly Father, please help us to be unashamed of this message about Jesus. Please help us to be eager and willing to speak your word to our fellow Christians and also to people who don't know you as well. Please help us to remember and know that great power of the gospel, to know that preaching the gospel is not an obligation of ours just to speak it, but it's something that we can do to wield your power on this earth. And we pray that as we do so, you may be pleased to use that power to bring people out of death, to bring people out of hell, so that many more people can join your kingdom and be saved. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.